Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning,
and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, when Paul went to the city of Athens in Acts 17 and saw that they were given to idolatry, he preached unto them the God that they had a shrine erected to, and the statement underneath it, to the unknown God. And Paul used that to begin a sermon that he preached, and we find that when he preached that sermon concerning the one true and living God, it says the remark that was made to Paul by some there in the city of Athens was, in Acts 17 and verse 20, "For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean." Sometimes when the name Church of Christ is mentioned, that not only may be a strange thing to somebody's ears for a church to wear that name, but in many of the things that maybe people think that they already know about the church, they think some of those things that we believe in practice are strange. So we admit that they are those who think us to be strange. And that's a common assumption that's to be made by the churches of Christ. But we find that the world, in a way, should think us to be strange. Because Jesus made the statement in Luke chapter 6 and verse 26, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." So we see then that Jesus, when he lived and walked upon this earth, was misunderstood. We know that the early church that we read about in the scriptures that existed in the first century was misunderstood. And we, as Christians, members of the Lord's Church, we need to be ready to give an answer and to defend the truth that we stand for. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." There are a lot of common assumptions that people make about the Church of Christ. They believe that we teach what is salvation. They believe that we don't believe in the Old Testament. They believe that we don't believe in Holy Spirit conversion. They believe that since David had music, they know that we don't have mechanical instruments of music. And they make the claim that, well, those people at the Church of Christ, they believe they're the only ones that are saved. Or sometimes the expression is made, they think they're the only ones going to heaven. Many people say, well, you know, the Church of Christ, yeah, that's the church that was started by Alexander Campbell. And some people think and have the assumption that the Church of Christ teaches salvation by works. And there are those who say, yeah, I know those people you're talking about. They condemn everybody else. So it is then that there are a lot of assumptions that people make about the church. So I'd like for us in the series beginning with this lesson to look at some of these assumptions and see whether they are true or not. And I hope that you'll study along with me. The first assumption we mentioned that many people think is that the Church of Christ teaches water salvation. But when you think about it, we don't teach that it is the water that saves. We teach that it is the blood of Christ that saves. You know, there are a lot of people in the religious world that teach and believe that you're saved at the moment of faith. So they believe in faith only. So would it be fair to say that they teach that salvation is in the faith and not in the blood of Christ? Well, I don't think they would say that. And so neither are we saying that just because we believe baptism is an essential part of salvation, that water is what saves us, or that we believe in water salvation. We believe in the blood of Christ. And just as faith is a condition for salvation, and certainly it is, Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We know that Jesus said, it's he that believes and is baptized that shall be saved. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 32, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So there's no denying the fact that faith is a condition of salvation. But also there's no denying the fact, if we take what the scriptures teach, that baptism is a condition of faith and a condition for salvation. Baptism, realizing that it is a part of that faith that the scriptures teach, and that it is a part of what it takes for the forgiveness of our sins, we need to understand verses like 1 Peter 3. In verse 20 beginning, it says that when once the divine longsuffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We find also Jesus saying in Mark 16, verses 16 and 17, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. We read also in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We also read in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, that Ananias said to Saul of Tarsus, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So we see then that baptism surely is a condition of faith and a condition for salvation. Why is it that others of the religious world are not teaching what Peter taught? So let us understand then that in all of this, that we do not teach salvation by water or water salvation as sometimes we are claimed to be teaching, but we believe that faith is important, that baptism is important just as faith is, and it takes faith and baptism in order to save us. That's what Jesus said in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus didn't say he that believeth shall be saved and then can be baptized if he chooses. Now, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So now the Church of Christ does not believe in water salvation. It is through obedience to the gospel that we come in contact with the blood of Christ. And it is the blood of Christ that washes and cleanses us from our sins. Then there's another assumption that people make about the Church of Christ, and that is, you all don't believe in the Old Testament. Well, let us understand that there is a sense in which we do believe in the Old Testament. We believe that the stories and the prophecies are true. We believe that they teach us faith in God and how God dealt with people and how that we can see the character of God. So there are a lot of lessons that we can learn from the Old Testament. And certainly, we believe that the Jews had to perform all of the sacrifices. They had to observe the Sabbath. They had to observe all of the festivals that were commanded in the Old Testament. And yet, why is it that those who criticize us for not believing in the Old Testament, why do they not do these things if they claim to believe in the Old Testament? Why do they not perform sacrifices, animal sacrifices? Why do they not observe the festivals, the burning of incense, and all of these things that were commanded under the Old Testament? So it is a good question to put forward. You know, the Old Testament said that a new and a better covenant was coming. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 31 and verse 31, made this statement, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, says the Lord." So we see then that the new covenant is the New Testament. It is the law of Christ. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 4, Paul said that in chapter 3 and verse 4, he said, "Have we suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain?" And so he says, "Wherefore the law," in verse 24, "was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we should be justified by faith. But after faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For we are all one in Christ. And if we be Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we read in verse 4, that Paul says that God has now made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, and that letter is in reference to the old law, the Old Testament, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministration of death, that is, the Old Testament written and engraven in stones, there can't be any mistake about what's being referred to, if that was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? And we don't have time, but it would be well to look at chapters 8 and 9 in the book of Hebrews that shows the superiority of the New Testament over the Old Testament. So it is then that these assumptions are made, that it is that we as the Church of Christ teach what is salvation, that we don't believe in the Old Testament, but truly, these just are merely assumptions, and we need not to believe them to be true. We see our time is up, and we want to continue in this line of study, so we hope that you tune in again tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.